Good morning and welcome to the Friday, January 2nd, 2009 edition. I bet you thought I was going to say 2008, but no, I got it right for the first time in a number of years. 2009 edition of the Investigative Journal. I'm your host, Greg Szymanski, on LibertyRadioLive.com, and you can listen to my show every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 a.m., that's Central Time. We're going to revisit the Tony Alamo story today, and the reason we're going to do that is we're going to present a character witness on Tony's behalf, a former FBI agent named John Peeler, who's been on my show before, and he's going to talk about how he was assigned the task in the 90s to bring down the Alamo ministry in a sinister fashion. And I think what you'll hear here is a pattern of setup and frame-up of the Alamo ministry. Now, let's just recap what happened here in, I think it was over a month and a half ago. Tony Alamo's ministry in Flock, Arkansas was raided in kind of a stormtrooper fashion. If you know anything about his ministry, there's a number of Bible-believing people that live there. And the government first stated that he was being arrested for child pornography on the Internet, according to those close to the case. After they found out Tony was blind, the charges were changed to a violation of the Mann Act, which means they're alleging that Tony transported underage children, five of them, I believe, is the total over the last 14 years across state lines for sex and illicit purposes. The ministry, in the meantime, had their children. John, just hold on for a second. We'll get right to you and I'll introduce you. John Peeler's with me right now on the other line. But in the meantime, 36 or more children have been abducted by the Arkansas Family Services state organization and been held in custody. Now, the reason they're stating that they've been held in custody is that there's abuse, alleged abuse going on at the ministry. And in the meantime, they've had interviews. Apparently, there's one family testifying against Tony, an unstable family. John's going to comment about that, as well as others in the ministry who have already commented about the one family testifying against Tony. But in the meantime, okay, we got Deborah on the caller line, so we'll get to her in a second. That's Deborah Andrzejczyk, and we'll explain exactly who she is in a minute. John, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, John, and we got Deborah on the line, so we're going to get to John, then Deborah wants to talk with you, too. But let me get to the real nuts and bolts of the case. So in the meantime, they've been carrying on interviews, and I've had interviews on this show as well, and many of the family members at the ministry are testifying there's never been any abuse and that these are trumped-up charges. Then there's an interview by Deborah's daughter, 16-year-old daughter, that is given to is an hour and a half interview by the Children and Family Services Department, and a Miss Munsell there, I believe, is the one who gave the interview, or she's the director or the person who gave it. But anyway, the interview defends Pastor Alamo, and Deborah's daughter states there's never been any abuse. In fact, they're brought up in a loving Christian home. The tape then is given to the family members. The tape then surfaces on First Amendment Radio TV, as well as on a site called Inquisition Update on a friend of mine's site. In fact, Tom got his start as a guest host on my radio show and was filled in by me about this whole story long ago. So Tom picked up on the story through my show, started interviewing people when I took a hiatus, and he puts it up. And since then, the Children and Family Services Department has asked the court to make sure that this does not get an order to bring down the videos, because this is a child case and all these records must be kept secret. Now, the point of the matter is this. I think the parents have a right to have their daughter talk on behalf of their lifestyle. And why does the government want to keep it all quiet? Well, because maybe it doesn't look too good for them. Let's just say it the way it is. And although they can hide behind the laws, which state that juvenile records need to be sealed and cases need to be quieted down, why, in the beginning, was the evidence against Mr. Alamo placed in the newspaper? and convicted him prior to his trial, which is coming up in February? And why, when there's information that supports him, why do they want to quash that? Those are the questions. Deborah Andrzejczyk is with us. She's going to ask John a few questions, but let's start with my guest. And that Deborah's daughter is the girl who gave the interview, and her interview's right now before the court in Arkansas to see if that can stay on the internet so people can hear the truth. And we'll get to Deborah in a minute. But John, you're an important person in this case, I believe, and as a character witness for Tony. You in the 90s were assigned by the FBI. You were an FBI agent back then. Tell us what you were assigned to do to him.
Sir, what's that? By Judge George Howard, Jr., and for the Violent Crime Task Force going after violent criminals in the United States of America, sir.
Right. And so back in the 90s, tell us your last assignment before you left the FBI, what you were told to do to the Alamo Ministry.
Okay. Well, let me tell you. Until that time, I had been undercover infiltrating radical organizations. I mean, the Aryan Nation, the Nazis, the Invisible Empire, the Knights of Ku Klux Klan. I mean, really serious people. And I had been arresting these people on mostly firearm violations, their plans to kill the President of the United States, to overthrow the United States government, these kind of deals and stuff. So it was really serious business. So when they told me, you know, until the Patriot Act, it was against the law to do this, but we did it anyway. I don't have immunity from prosecution, so I can't tell you everything I know, but I'll tell you as much as I can and be totally honest with you. Every time I talk to you, federal agents talk to me and ask me what's going on and stuff and try to give me the bum's rush. But anyway, I'm going to be totally honest with you and your listeners because somebody needs to. But what happened, at that time, many years ago, I was a FOB, a friend of Bill. Okay, I was told
by the Bill federal, Clinton, right?
Bill, William Jefferson Bly III, also known as Bill Clinton. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. One a shaker and a mover that still has things done. Okay. Another story that's not related to this: Bill Gwatney was murdered not too long ago, and another unsolved mystery in Arkansas. Thanks to Bill Clinton, it'll stay unsolved probably. I'll talk to you some other time about that if you're interested. The man,
all right, go ahead.
Candidate type thing. He was assassinated because he knew too much, like too many other people. And I would probably be in that category, but the deal is I'm talking to you and everybody else that'll listen about things that happened. But Tony Alamo, at that time, he owned something like 32 businesses in Arkansas. He had property. He had all kind of things going for him. God had really blessed the man. And I infiltrated his organization, went to Alma, Arkansas, went to some of his companies and businesses, his grocery store, gas station, restaurant.
Now, you were ordered to do this by
who? He was targeted on the target list, and I asked why a preacher was on the target list. I'd done other preachers that were members of the Klan that were preachers and stuff, so that didn't bother me too bad. But when I got to finding out about him, the deal is the guy was squeaky clean. I mean, this guy was helping people out. He would literally give people the shirt off his back if they needed it. He was going around picking up winos and weirdos and street people, people that average people wouldn't talk to, and taking them and cleaning them up, giving them jobs and stuff. So anyway, because he would not help and campaign and give money to Bill Clinton is the main reason they went against him. That's what I was told by all the federal agents. But anyway, I tried to give him and his followers, talk to his followers, give them a whole diesel truckload of fully automatic weapons if they wanted to overthrow the government or anything. They were not interested. They had a sign on the gate of their ranch that said they didn't allow firearms or BB guns or any kind of weapons in their retreat at all. They didn't allow any weapons and so forth. And I guess he was aware that the government would come after him. So when you try to help people out, stuff is a hard thing to do, especially in a poor, backward state like Arkansas. Because if you have money and have things going for you, you're going to end up making someone mad sooner or later. And that's basically what he did. Because he would not campaign, give money, and help out the Bill Clinton campaign. And Bill Clinton all along had delusions of grandeur and great expectations. I mean, he was very upset because his Hillary didn't become President of the United States or Vice President. But the whole thing got very, very complicated. And when I went after the guy, they told me if I couldn't get him on some kind of charge I could even kill him and make it look like an accident if I wanted to, but they would rather it look like an accident or a suicide. And I told him, look, this man, I can't find any fault with him. I mean, he's not Jesus Christ, but this is the cleanest guy I've ever infiltrated. I can't find anything wrong with him. I'm not going to kill this man. I'm not going to frame him if I can help it. And they said, well, how can we get him if we have to? And I said, the only way you're going to be able to get this man, the tax laws in America are very complicated. Do like you did to Alfonso Capone, Al Capone. You frame him up on a tax evasion charge, and that's basically exactly what they did to him. They got people that had businesses that said they were losing their business. He helped them out, became a partner with them, and so forth, and they got him. And these people that he were picking up, he had them working for him. He'd clean them up, give them places to live, food to eat, but he wasn't paying them that much money. So they filed charges against him and said he was violating the workers' wage compensation laws and so forth. So they come at him on all these jive charges and so forth on tax and business fraud and all these kind of things, and just really pursued him doggedly on the deal.
And so then he spends 4 years in jail, right?
Yes, sir, that is correct. And then I write the people that I was forced to frame, which were too many, but to talk on your show today about, but I wrote letters of when I was fired from the agency. I wrote
now, tell us what happened to you, because Awamo was your last case. What happened to you?
Okay, what happened is the going-away present, they tried to frame me for murder, and they managed to frame my youngest son, who was a Lance Corporal of the United States Marine Corps. They tried to frame me and managed to frame him for murder with no body, no weapon, no blood, no hair, no forensic evidence, no eyewitness, no crime scene, no DNA. Just three people that said that he murdered a missing person. That's the only evidence against him. And his name is John Christopher Peeler. He's now prisoner 107832, East Arkansas Regional Unit, Post Office Box 180, Brickey, Arkansas, 72320-0180. He's doing life without parole for murder, and there is no evidence. There is some evidence that proves that he did not do the crime that he's charged with. The people that have went against him, two of the three people want to recant their charges and say that they were forced to do it by federal and state and local police departments, and that he did not do anything, and the whole thing is a hoax.
And basically, you left the department and started talking about your assignments, and this is why they...
Yeah, I started talking to people like you and so forth, and talk shows and so forth, about government corrupt. This is before the Patriot Act, and the deal is I had signed all these laws swearing I wouldn't do it, but they didn't keep their bargain with me, so I didn't keep the bargain with them, sir.
And so this is what they did to you.
Yes, sir.
You, in the meantime, though, you've also been on the show with Tony before they put him in jail again.
Yes, sir, that is and correct. You... Yes, sir, and I consider him a personal friend, and he's the only one that I wrote letters to that forgave me for the... And, you know, I've seen it come short of the glory of God, and I'm trying to get right with God now and trying to be totally honest with you and everybody else, and it keeps me in a world of trouble right now with the federal agents and so forth. I mean, I love to come on your show and talk to your people and get the truth out, but every time I do, there are repercussions. You know what I'm saying? But my son is doing life without for a crime he didn't do. The only reason I'm not down there with him, I use my get-out-of-jail-free card. When they told me they filed charges against him, I was getting ready to go to court on the same charges he was on. When I went to court, I told him I'm going to tell everything I know about the Clinton family and my government involvement with them and so forth. And they said, you can't do that. And I said, we'll wait and see. Every time they ask me a question, I'm going to talk about William Jefferson Bly, also known as William Jefferson Clinton, and the information I know about him and murders and so forth. And people will find that fascinating, I think. And they said, you can't do that. So the Secret Service came down, went to court with me, and had all the charges against me dropped because they did not, they said they'd never want to see me get on the stand and talk about anything in a federal court because every time I do, it's very embarrassing to them.
So in the meantime, your son's in jail for life now.
Yes,
sir. In fact, one time you came on my show, and then you stopped for 6 months, and the reason you did was because they told you if you stop talking, they may help you get your son out.
Yes, sir. The various agents, a representative of the CIA, the FBI, the ATF, and There were various agents with different agencies that I'd worked with. They came and had a meeting with me and told me if I'd quit talking to people like you and your listeners and so forth, that they would get up, give my son a presidential pardon. They'd let him go, drop the charges. He could leave the country, do whatever he wanted to do if I just quit. So I quit for about 6 months talking to you or anybody else. But then when I called up and thing, you know, and asked what the deal was, they didn't remember making a deal with me, these agents.
So then you started talking again.
Agents and agencies, sir. But they all met with me, a multi-task force agency, and told me to quit talking about this stuff because it's embarrassing a lot of people in high places.
All right. Now, tell us what you think about the latest raid on the Alamo ministry and what's going on.
Okay,
you're familiar
back
with the story.
Back then, I knew Tony Alamo, and I knew a lot of his followers really well because I got, you know, I was undercover operations specialist, so I got in there with him, you know. And I'm saying, the guy is a fundamentalist preacher and believes the whole Bible. So do I now. But the deal, I didn't totally back then, but I do now. And I'm trying to get right with God because I've got some health concerns. I'm an older guy now, so is he. But I think Pastor Alamo is 74 now or somewhere around there. But anyway,
right.
he was born September the 20th, 1934, I remember. And
okay.
Anyway, he's just a totally decent guy. He was squeaky clean back then. I couldn't find anything wrong with him. I've kept in touch with him and some of his followers over the years. And to my knowledge, he's still squeaky clean, to my knowledge. I've never seen or heard of him do anything wrong with anyone. But when you try to help out families, there are a lot, especially dysfunctional families, the families are turning on each other and so forth. And then, you know, like they teach you in police training, when you go to a family disturbance, you end up trying to break it up, and they both decide they're going to get you before it's over with and come after you over the deal. And it could
mm-hmm.
be a very bad situation.
So tell us what you know about this case, and why do you think they brought this, raided his ministry again?
Okay, Pastor Alamo was making a comeback. He was getting businesses, renting places, doing things. He's been blessed by God, and he's just a very good businessman, to my knowledge. I mean, he helps people out in India and so forth, in other countries, Mexico, Indian places. But anyway, Pastor Alamo was making a comeback, getting more followers, getting more people interested in his ministry and so forth. And when he's building back up again, they just want to break him down again. And they just
mm-hmm.
want to show him who's boss. And see, they wanted him to be David Koresh before David Koresh was David Koresh. They wanted to make an example out of him and murder him and as many of his followers as they could. But he was not interested in firearms or explosives or overthrowing the United States government. He was interested, like you and a lot of your friends, in getting the truth out, telling people what's really happening. And he was a serious, serious Bible-studying person who was into the Bible and into the ministry and believed it 100%.
So they couldn't use him like they did David Koresh?
No, sir, they could not. David
All right,
Koresh,
so now we have a case where...
Gordon Wayne was a gun dealer, and that's how they were able to get to him.
Mm-hmm. And now we have him. There's one family testifying against him and about many, saying nothing goes on there that it's close to abuse. What's your thoughts about how they're setting him up now?
Okay, the way they're setting him up is you get people that are from dysfunctional families with families that are having feuds with each other, and then you get children and lock them up for a few months and get them to say whatever you want them to say. It's a very old story in Arkansas, I'm afraid. This is the way they do things and so forth. For example, they checked out Vernon Wayne Howe, David Koresh, the social services, the sheriff, everybody else. They couldn't find him doing anything wrong. So the deal is they came after him anyway. And the ATF, I mean, they're not in charge of child abuse cases, but they came after him. When they did this raid on Pastor Alamo this last time, I was told they contacted 60 different news agents and agencies and news media sources and so forth, and told them they were going to have the raid, had TV channels and stations there, had a Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms and Explosives, the FBI Violent Crime Task Force, the Sheriff's Department. They had all the different agencies and agents and representatives, the police departments and so forth, and they had people with Heckler & Koch HK MP5 submachine guns and so forth. If anybody would dropped a glass and broke it or slammed the door hard, there would probably been people killed all over the place if they had thought anybody had fired a shot with them like they alleged that David Koresh did at the people, and they really shot him from the helicopter, him and a lot of his friends and relatives and people are not dead.
Right. You know what? We got another 35 minutes, a few minutes before the break. Deborah Andrzejczyk from the Malamo Ministries on the phone wants to talk with you a little bit. And she's the mother of the girl who was interviewed for an hour and a half by the court, by the DHS in Arkansas. And that interview has been leaked. And that interview now is the question of a court now. They're going to the courts asking that it be removed from the website because it's a juvenile matter. But in that interview, those who have seen it, she basically supports Tony Alamo and the ministry, stating there is no abuse. Deborah, how are you?
Oh, I'm just fine. How are you?
Good. I thought you might have some questions for John. We're going to spend a few minutes here, then another half hour. So why don't you start?
Okay. John, have you seen, I'm sure you must have seen everything that's going on in the news lately with this.
Oh, yes, that's correct.
And,
I've been aware of the news and so forth and talked to federal agents and so forth about it. Like they said, they're trying to take Pastor Alamo down again. And in Arkansas, when they bust you, you're guilty until you, like a judge told me, you're guilty until you can prove yourself innocent. Anybody that thinks otherwise has been watching too many soap operas on television. So
that's
when
right.
People are arrested in Arkansas, the police and everybody else, the news media automatically assumes they're guilty. And Pastor Alamo, unless he's changed, which I don't think he has that often because I've stayed in touch with him and some of his friends and relatives and people, I think he's still probably squeaky clean, is he not?
Oh, he absolutely. There's absolutely no abuse whatsoever, and that's exactly what my daughter and so many others have confirmed about our pastor that are right here within the ministry. You know, it's amazing that this Julie Munzel, and actually it was the Office of Chief Counsel Eubanks, Misty Eubanks, I believe her name is the one that I got a motion from yesterday saying that, from one of the lawyers that we have, saying that she, you know, has, they're taking it to the court, taking it to the judge to get an order to, you know, they want us to take it off the air completely and totally. Because they, of course, they're not going to say because they don't want the truth out. But that's exactly what it's all about. And one thing that Julie Mundell said about this is that the damage has been done. You know, and I say the damage, this is the truth. They've been lying and slandering and damaging and would have murdered us the day that they came up there. They had those machine guns you're mentioning. I don't know the name of them, but they had those machine guns pointed right on my daughter with the both my daughters, my 20-year-old and my 16-year-old daughter, and other children with the lasers pointed right at them. You know,
that, to me, sounds like abuse to me, doesn't it?
The abuse.
It really is. It's endangering the welfare of a child. That's a charge right there because they're violating the constitutional rights of the child, and they're endangering the child welfare by pointing a armed weapon with a laser sight on at the person. Because it's obvious that if someone sneezed real hard, people could be killed.
Oh, yeah. Now, Here's another point, you know, that girl, Marissa Broderick, is 14 years old. She came out with her filthy, false story about our pastor. That was plastered all over the newspapers. She's 14, but my 16-year-old daughter is not allowed to say anything that's true?
Well, Roger, right. They publish what they want to publish. You're totally correct.
Right, and we're going to go into a break, Deborah and John, so both of you sit tight for about 3 minutes, and then we're going to be back on the Investigative Journal.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States. In 1963.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no secret is revealed. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President today.
You were both in Skull and Bones, the secret society.
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
I've got a vision for what I want to do for the country. See, I know exactly where I want to lead. It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
Some of them are living as illusions, bounded by the darkness of their eyes. In their eyes it's nation against nation against nation, with racial pride.
Okay, we are back for the last half hour today, the Investigative Journal. My guests, and I will say that plural, John Peeler, former FBI agent who was assigned in the 90s to bring down the Alamo Ministry in a covert manner. He claims the same thing is going on today. And my second guest is Deborah Andrzejczyk. Hopefully I pronounced that correctly. Her daughter has been kidnapped by the state, and I'll put it bluntly the way it is. So she's 16 years old, and she gave an interview that supported Pastor Alamo and said there was no abuse going on. Since then, the state has asked that this interview be removed from First Amendment TV and from the InquisitionReport.org, where it's been appearing. And, Mike, first of all, let's talk about that Kennedy speech. I think we're seeing the local ramifications of this monolithic beast, as Kennedy talked about. We're seeing the secrecy that Bush is talking about. And now the question I have, well, before I have a question, let me give some advice. First of all, I have a law degree, so I'm a little bit knowledgeable of the laws in this area. Now, if they're successful in using their sneaky lawyer tricks to get this video off the air, I recommend that right now, John, you sit tight for a minute and let Deborah give an oral record of what her daughter said so that we can distribute that. And I would recommend the Alamo Ministry take this next half hour or this whole hour and use it in lieu of them taking that video off, which would still have some record of what was said. And I don't think they're going to be successful in stopping Ms. Andrzejczyk's First Amendment rights and our First Amendment rights in this interview. I don't think they're going to be able to get by that. So please, Deborah, in case they do take that video off, in a relatively short period of time here, just capsulize what your daughter said so that there's a record that you can put up on your website in case they take that off. Go ahead.
She said that she emphatically stated that she had never been abused and by Pastor Alamo or anybody, and she had never, nothing had ever, it says right here, right on this newspaper article that Andy Davis wrote, that if anything ever happened to anybody, anything ever happened where anyone was molested in the church, Tony, my pastor, would kick them out immediately, the girl said. He doesn't tolerate that, let alone he would never do such a thing. That's a sin. And she also said that.
Go ahead.
Places.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
She says that. What I really like to do, I like to go out and pass out gospel literature. She said it's really very exciting to just go out and tell people about the Lord and get their responses. And then she said that the natural disasters that are going, you know, that are happening all around the world, she said that people think it's Mother Nature, but she said it's not, that it's really God doing these things.
Mm-hmm.
And she also says that she believes that she believes in keeping your virginity until you get married. She said if anything else happened, she would be totally ruined. She's, you know, about herself, she says. And she said she had never been touched in an inappropriate area, and no one ever asked her to touch him. And, you know, during this interview with Missy Stout, she's the forensic interviewer that did it,
okay.
Back to Tony Alamo. Always bring it back to Tony because, you know, this interview took place right after the raid, the morning after the raid. And those people were there till, they started at 6 in the evening until like 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. So then they get the girls. My daughter shows up on this interview. I think the clock said 10:30 or 11 in the morning. They did it for 2 hours, and she's still in her same clothes. Now, this isn't abuse. I mean, interrogation, the morning after she gets kidnapped at machine gun point. There were hundreds of officers out there. It was just the most incredible thing. The way John Peeler described it, that's really the way it happened. And
maybe we could let John interject. Why did they do this, John? I mean, here's a peaceful, loving group, and they come in there like it's a terrorist compound.
Well, that's what they wanted people to believe, that it was a terrorist compound, and that's what they've always tried to portray. In fact, the word that they use, they call them a cult, because cult words have meaning and power and so forth, and they want to make him and his followers look as bad as they can because they want to do away with them, make an example out of them. Obviously, they're fundamentalist Christians, and they're fighting fundamentalist Christians also, and he's an obvious example of it, him and David Koresh, too. He would have been David. If he had had a firearm, he would have been David Koresh already. He would, and his followers, many of them would already be dead. But thank God, Pastor Alamo's smart enough not to fall into the ploy and talk about wanting to overthrow the government or get firearms or so forth, or he'd be a dead man. And he doesn't, to my knowledge, he doesn't hoard anything or do anything like that. It never has. And we couldn't even get him or any of his followers interested in that sort of thing. But what Deborah says is fascinating. But the deal is that I was a jackbooted thug. I've been in on raids and so forth. And they had the news media there. They wanted to make it look as bad as they could. If someone would have come up with a weapon, there would all be kind of dead people all over the place. And they would even shot some of their own men and said that the followers of Tony Alamo did it, just like they did at Waco. And it's very unfortunate. Thank God that no one was harmed in this deal. But it could have went very badly, very easily. And basically, like she said, like Andrea said, they did child abuse because they were threatening children, and they didn't have to do that. They could have went with a papers and served them on Pastor Alamo, and he would have went voluntarily and so forth. They didn't have to do this giant armed raid, but it was a made-for-TV event, sir. And I'll let her get back to her.
Yeah, go ahead, Deborah. That's a good point, Joe. Made-for-TV event, Deborah. Go ahead and continue. Where's your children now first?
They are in foster homes in Bryant, Arkansas, and they both want to come home. I saw my little boy for an hour. He's 13 years old on Wednesday. We get 1 hour a week with them. Up on the wall, it's got all these rules. No talking, no passing notes, no discussing Tony Alamo, no discussing the court case. It's right up there on the wall at the DHS, you know. And the thing about these people is that they used this. They went in and they kidnapped those girls to try to get the girls to turn on Pastor Alamo. Mary Helen Mitchell, the Office of Chief Counsel for the DHS, stated, and our lawyer told us this, that they weren't going to use the girls' testimony because they couldn't get them to turn. They couldn't get them to roll over. And they didn't. I think they only called one of the girls, and God only knows how they coerced and forced her to say whatever she said. I wasn't there. It wasn't my daughter. And I don't believe that she said anything negative, but Lord only knows what they were doing with that. But for sure, she wasn't going to call them because they wouldn't roll over and start what she called telling the truth, which they've always been telling the truth all along. It's all about destroying Pastor Alamo and this ministry. And I had a question, and that is of Mr. Peeler. What were your thoughts on this? How, you know, the judge ruled that they can go to all these different states all across around the country, and they can just hunt down and bring our children back, you know, like they're a bunch of, you know, animals, a bunch of criminals. Our children, bring them back here, you know, so they can kidnap them and put them in foster care. and yet they're, you know, the DHS workers talk to us and they say they're overworked. They work 17 hours a day. There's nowhere to put these children. Now they took it off the books about the gays being foster parents. Now they're trying to get it back on, but it's okay. They don't even have people. They were in perfectly healthy, normal Christian homes in the ministry, and none of the stuff that they're saying is true. Not any of it. And now they're out where my daughter says what they do is they exposed her to, you know, everybody in her school, she says, is either a lesbian, a homosexual, bisexual. You know, she says that, you know, my boy said that his foster father tried to get him to watch Harry Potter. You know, why on earth would anybody want their child to watch Harry Potter and get them into witchcraft? So, at any rate, that is the sort
of... Go ahead, John. Comment about this treatment.
Okay, you're exactly right, and Deborah's exactly right. What it is, you get the people away from their parents and so forth and try to get, you know, like you said about Christians and so forth, the Bible in ancient days and day, they're in the world but not of the world. They get them with all these worldly people and so forth and want them to change over and be worldly people and so forth and do all this modern-day crazy stuff that a lot of people, too many people do nowadays and so forth instead of, you know, when people try to do right and so forth, people see that they're different and so forth. Just like when I was over in Israel about a month ago in Amman, Jordan, surrounding area and so forth, you know, you see an Orthodox Jew, you know they're Orthodox Jew because they look different and so forth. And Pastor Alamo's people, they were down here in the Klan state of Arkansas, and they're trying to be fundamentalist Christians. They're not against Jews. They're not against blacks. They're not against anybody. They're fundamentalist Christians. Down in a southwest area of Arkansas next to Texas that's known for Klan activity and violence and weird things happening and so forth. And then you get people that from broken homes, broken families and so forth. I don't know necessarily about Deborah and her family, but some of these people, the wife was in the Tony Alamo ministry trying to do right by God and everything else, and the husband was an alcoholic or whatever, and they're getting away from whoever or whatever situation they were in. And then the other person comes and makes charges against Pastor Alamo and tries to get their children back. It's just an old story. And because the federal agents want to make him look, he was making a comeback. He was getting people. He was doing right by God, by man, and by everybody else. And they come against him with all the powers of the state and the federal. And they can make the law. They can violate the laws. You cannot violate them. If you violate the laws, you violate the laws. They'll hold you to the letter of the law. But they can point HK MP5 submachine guns, 9mm, with God knows what kind of laser safety slugs or armor-piercing ammunition or whatever they got in it, and they can have an accident and murder half the people there and get away with it and say it was an accident. You do it, and you'll be charged with all kind of offenses and so forth. There's a double standard, especially when it comes to the jackbooted thugs in America. They can do whatever they want to and get away with it. You cannot. And it's unfortunate that we're at that state.
Right. And the point is, when they take these kids, first of all, they're ripped away from their parents. Then they're held, and then they're probably coerced by basically, they're looking for any possible means to, like they said, turn them, even though it isn't the truth. Because, you know, if you're a kid and you're taken away from your parents, you know, that is a traumatic thing. And there's a lot of time, who knows sometimes what can happen after someone is held in custody for a long time. They've done it before. They'll do it again. It's just interesting that they won't allow one truthful conversation out. And they hide behind their law stating that juvenile records need to be sealed. Deborah, just continue a little bit so we get a little bit on the record. So your daughter, you see her once a week for an hour. She's been undergoing these interrogations. And she's always supported Tony Alamo and stated, basically, if there was any abuse, Tony would be the first one to kick a person out. The question becomes, what is abuse? Now, I think an AK-47 rifle pointed at a kid is worse than a slap on the butt,
absolutely,
which my dad to me many times. So go ahead.
Would you like me to read that interview? I've got that interview right in front of me.
Well, we can't do the whole thing, but just a little bit of it that you think's important.
Okay, well.
Because we only have like about 10 minutes left.
Okay. Oh, let's see. A lot of this is...
And even if you want to paraphrase, that's fine.
Okay. It says, she said she was raised in the ministry along with her 13-year-old brother and two sisters, now 33 and 20. Three other brothers, aged 18, 23, and 30, were also raised in the ministry but have left. And they did, when they came of age, they decided they didn't want to be with the ministry, and they left the ministry. And we realized that if there's anybody here that doesn't want to be with the ministry, we are going to allow them to leave. You know, of course, everybody has their own decision to make, and we bring them up the best way that we can possibly do it. We think it's the best place in the world to raise children here. They're taught the Bible, and there's nothing wrong with the Bible whatsoever. That's the doctrine of our ministries, is the King James Version of the Bible. And that is why we receive so much persecution. And I did want to get back and just say something about the one little girl that they did that they did get to testify, and they told her that if she testified in court, that that would help her dad get her back. And of course, it's always the lies. And you know, these people have gone in, and we aren't allowed to say anything about any of this to our children at all, nothing. Or the visit, the 1 hour visit is terminated. But those people are filling.
And they won't allow you to talk about what's happening?
Oh, no, no, absolutely not. If you do, it's terminated. No, they've got it right on the wall, written right on the wall in the visiting room down there in where we visit, which is in Benton, the DHS, Benton, Arkansas. They have it right there. No discussing Tony Alamo's court case, no discussing Tony Alamo, no whispering, no passing notes. Everything has to, you are being monitored visually and audially.
Hey, Greg?
Oh.
Yeah, and
yes.
Last week, Brian, his daughter was telling him some of the things that were going on with her, how they, all the horrible stuff they're telling her, they're telling these girls and these boys that they've kidnapped, and Brian got so upset, and he ended up having, they made him go outside, use the men's restroom outside, and when he did, they wouldn't let him come back in. That was.
I think Nicholas, Nicholas is on the line. You wanted to say something?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to add, first of all, you misstated the name of the website. It's inquisitionupdate.org.
Okay.
And everyone, there's a link to the article there that Deborah was referencing. And also, I'd wish Deborah could get a camera in there and take some pictures of these signs.
We did.
You do?
Yes, we have it. Yes.
Well, we'd like to have those, too.
Oh, you'll get it. But they'll probably bar our cameras the next time. So we hated to have our cameras barred. But we have it. Believe me, that's what we got.
Okay, well, make sure you send those out.
I sure will.
Yeah, because we want to keep this up and make sure that people get the truth.
We're more than happy to let you have anything.
InquisitionUpdate.org, okay?
Right, that's where you can find it right now. And also, you can get, I recommend you get some of these past articles and go to some of my old interviews with John Peeler and Tony together years ago when we talked about the same exact thing. And John Peeler is here as a character witness for Tony. And I don't think, you know, you can have a stronger one, a man who worked for Clinton, for the FBI, assigned to bring this man down. Now, don't you think they're doing the same thing today, folks? John, some comments here. How's this going to wash out as far as
unless you stop, history tends to repeat itself unless you try to stop it, so forth. And, you know, the evil men will prosper when good men do nothing and so forth. These are famous quotes, of course, but that's exactly what's happening. I mean,
are they going to go the long route?
But maybe tomorrow they'll be coming after you because you have a talk show and are talking against things that are going wrong in America.
No,
and
that's the
way it's headed, so forth, it looks like. In fact, you know, when I was in Amman, Jordan, you have announcers and stuff that try to sell gold on your program. They didn't want to take Federal Reserve notes. They wanted to take their money or euros or gold or silver. They didn't want Federal Reserve notes. Our money's going down. Our culture's going down. Our society's going down. And it takes people like you and Deborah and Pastor Alamo that will stand up for their rights, people that believe in the Bible and their personal beliefs and so forth, are entitled to their personal beliefs. And these other people are just subverting justice and the law and so forth for their own ends and so forth and trying to make him look like an evil person when there's all this evil around the world, and then calling him out and saying that he's an evil person, making people into things that they are not.
Deborah, when's the next time you're going to see your daughter?
Well, if they allow us, it'll be Wednesday at 1:30 in Benton, Arkansas.
And like you said, not only these signs up there, but they tell you you cannot speak about the case with her, and you're her parent?
That's
her
right.
Mother?
We're not allowed to. That's the whole thing. That's why this was such a breakthrough to get this video out. I'm so glad that it got posted. It's wonderful. You know, it's all over the place. It's all over. They're never going to shut it down. It's all over now.
No.
The APS, it's on the news. It was on an ABC station last night. It's everywhere. And now we get a lot of good responses. They're seeing what's going on. Like Julie Munzel said, the damage has been done. If they want to call the truth damage, we hope it damaged them well. We hope it shuts up their lying mouths, because that's all it is. They wanted to use, the DHS wanted to use our case to redeem themselves, because they had 4 deaths in the Arkansas foster care system this past year, and also cases of child molestation in these foster homes they're putting these kids in. But the main thing that I see about this whole thing is that they are using it to take away, and they have taken away, our First Amendment rights, the freedom of religion, freedom of speech. These are our rights that we fled Europe to come over here to have these rights, and they're taking them away, and people just, what are they doing about it? You know, we want to get the truth out so people can see what the truth really and truly is. They're trying to destroy this ministry. That's what it's all about, and our pastor. And they have been doing this for 44 years. So that's where it stands, and it's
And let's not forget the main issue here. Pastor Lamo is one of the more vocal ministers that calls the Antichrist the Vatican. He's not afraid to make the connection between the Vatican and the government of the United States. I'm not afraid to do that on this show. I do it more in a secular manner. And Pastor Alamo has always passed out the literature that he passes out all across the country and the world, is not afraid to talk like the Protestant reformers did back when Protestantism meant something. And I believe, like in one of my articles I stated, if you don't think the Pope has power in Arkansas, you better start researching it, because he sure does. And I'll tell you what, behind the scenes in this whole story, you're going to have a cardinal, you're going to have some bishop somewhere, you're going to have somebody in the Vatican, some Jesuit, pulling the strings to make sure that Alamo goes down. And I can bet on that. You can bet on that. What do you think, Deborah?
Oh, absolutely. You're 100% right on that. And, you know, I just wanted to make the statement that, and it's in our court papers, Judge Jim Hudson commanded us that we have to leave the church if we want to get our children back. And then that's after a year of going through psychological evaluations, therapy, parenting classes, a bunch of hogwash the DHS puts on everybody. And, you know, everybody that's a Christian that wants to serve God according to the dictates of their heart, you know, we have to leave the ministry. Well, this is, you know, what, you know, I just wanted to...
Well, that shows you their intent here. Their intent, they're using your children and you as a wedge to get to Alamo and to close the ministry down, because they don't like him preaching against, one, the Vatican, against, two, people like Clinton. And isn't that the case, John?
Yes, sir. That's totally exactly that you got it in a nutshell. He went against the powers that be, and they're trying to show him how powerful they are. If you held a Heckler & Koch HK5 submachine gun with 9mm ammunition and 32-round magazines and a laser scope pointed at a child, they'd put you under the jail for child abuse, sir. You wouldn't get out in a long time. But they can sit there and do that all day and get away with it, because they make the rule. The golden rule is the people that have the gold make the rules, and they're trying to show him that they're powerful and they're in charge and so forth. I'm not a Catholic, never was, but I work with a hell of a lot of Catholic people. I went to Catholic church with them sometimes, and they tried to convert me to Catholicism and so forth, but there are a whole lot of judges and federal agents that are into Catholicism.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Deborah, in the last couple of minutes here, tell us what the mood is over in the Alamo ministry now, and I know I've had other parents on the show who echo what you say. Tell us how Tony's doing and what the mood is over there.
We are tremendously victorious, because we know God is going to do something here. This whole thing, it's the cat's out of the bag. The damage has been done. And, you know, it's going to keep on escalating. I mean, if one video was taken off, there's hundreds, maybe thousands of them all over that aren't taken off. You know, people get on the websites, get on there and find out what really is the truth. Look at her video. It's on internet. It's on ABC. You know, it's going to be all. It's with the Associated Press. You know, it's everywhere. So, you know, we're very happy because the truth is getting out, and we're not going to stop here, and we're not going to leave the church. We're not going to leave our the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible. Because some judge says that we can't, you know, we have to do that. We're not going to do it. We love our children, but we also love the living God more than anything. And, you know, we are victorious.
Now, I hope people are listening to what a judge said. Leave the ministry, you can get your kids back. And then you got to go through a year of our propaganda BS, right?
Maybe you'll get your kids back.
Maybe.
So, you know, yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. Freedom of religion and speech in America. You got signs up when you go see your kids, don't talk about this. And then you got some crazy department telling you how to run your life. And you got some judge saying you can't even practice religion in your own ministry. And they take your kids away by gunpoint. John, you worked in this for a long time. You got out. Tell us how you feel now. Because
okay.
I know you... We only have a few
I feel that
seconds.
The truth is being supplanted and that the New World Order is trying to take over. And I think things are going to get a lot worse before they get a lot better. When does Pastor Alamo go to court over this deal? And like I
believe
said,
it's in February.
Second.
Okay, thank you so much. We're all out of time. We'll be back tomorrow, Monday, same time, same place, until then.